Welcome to Futile Podcast. Tonight...
What a pompous asshole.
Who? Salieri?
No, Amadeus. I could relate with Salieri.
Yeah, I think everyone could. That's why it's one of the few movies that does that. That takes where the villain motivation is something that's so actual that people have... Like, jealousy is so rarely... Or that kind of jealousy, that it's kind of funny. Divine bitterness is so rare to actually be the motivation for villains in movies.
I was just talking to a friend earlier today about a short story that I read. And it was really a crazy take on Deal with the Devil, where this guy, this is a quick story, but this guy, he's diagnosed with like terminal cancer. I mean, he's pretty well fucked. And he's middle-aged and has grown kids and all that, and his life's not so bad, but he's just kind of, he's doing chemo and he's just really, feeling pretty terrible and not being able to keep down food. And so he starts taking these drives just to try to clear his head, and he ends up on this this area that is really busy during the daytime but gets kind of sparse at night, not a lot of traffic, and he runs into this guy that just kind of has this stand. I don't remember what the guy was selling, but he walks up and gets into a conversation with the guy, and to make a long story short, takes him a while to figure this one out, and of course he's doubtful. But the guy ends up making him a deal that he will not promise him anything, but that he could essentially take away this guy's bad luck and give it to somebody else. But the catch is, he's got to name somebody he really, really doesn't like. And I think there was some money involved, too. He had to pay the guy, I think it was like 15% of his yearly earnings for like 20 years or 10 years or however long his life gets prolonged. And it's really kind of fascinating because the guy that he finally, first he's like, I don't hate anybody and all this kind of shit. Finally, he's like, no, I take that back. My best friend. And there was this guy, Mr. Perfect. Everybody liked him, star athlete, blah, blah, blah. But this guy was always the guy who he stood on to get where he was in a very nice guy kind of way. But, both went to college together, rode his way through college. And this guy, the guy making the deal, the thing that really tipped it over for him was he was dating this really hot chick. And, of course, the hot chick and his best buddy hit it off, Nobody's to blame. Love, blah, 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 blah. Well, they end up having the perfect life together. Ends up being a successful businessman and perfect children, blah, blah, blah. They have the perfect marriage. They're happy. They're still beautiful. They're in their 50s. It's fucking wonderful. And the way of the story, it's really kind of disturbing, and it's really fucked up the way the guy just kind of takes it all in stride. But, the demon, the devil, the whoever it was he made the deal with,
I love how the devil said practical concerns. He's like, I'm still going to want some walking around money, so give me 15% of your yearly take home.
make it legit.
Yeah, right.
And,
so is the gimmick that the devil ends up giving the guy he hates the most, like, twice as much good luck as he
gave him? No, that was the crazy thing, is this guy's life turns to shit almost immediately, and the guy that made the deal, his cancer, like, just miraculously goes into
remission. 15 years or whatever.
Well, the end of the story, his life is still rolling fucking sweet, man. He's rolling freaking sevens the whole way. It's crazy. His kids, incredibly successful. Everything is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. This guy's perfect life just totally unravels. Mm-hmm. Over time, like, the first thing that happens is this is really fucked up. The guy's perfect wife, the same girl that he stole from his buddy in college, she gets, either it was cancer or it was some terminal disease. She's fucking pop, boom, dead. Everything else, kids get totally fucked up, died, loses the business, just Yeah, I mean, it just, his life just totally runs to shit. And this other guy's life just keeps getting better. And through the whole thing, this guy, you know, obviously he believes what's going on now, and he it's worth every cent. And every year he just keeps making more and more damn money, so he keeps writing a bigger ass check and sending it to the bank account, the Caymans, that he was instructed to do so. He has no more contact with the demon, devil, whatever. But he just has no real regret and no real remorse, maybe a twinge, when the wife died, because he didn't hate her per se, but he really wasn't that broken up about it when she died. It's like, and with the guy's kids, and it was just like, man, that's fucked up. But I guess that's what years and years of resentment and hate will do to you. But, I mean, talk about that old story, the deal with the devil. But, and that was the thing that really kind of surprised me when I was reading the story, because you expect there to be some sort of twist. It's not really a twist because it's been done a million times before, but that was the twist. That it just all worked out exactly like, you know, it was the one deal with the devil that was fucking straightforward. And it was
until the guy dies eventually. And then,
well, that was the thing. He's like, I'll guarantee you, you know, another 10, 15 years, whatever.
But then your soul is mine. That kind of, it's the
girl. No, and the guy's like, no,
it's the Faustus thing.
That was the other thing, too, because they talked about all that, too. He's like, yeah, I'm going to owe you my soul. And I don't want any of that shit. You know, this is just shits and giggles.
Well, then, yeah, clearly the writer was just definitely in a very cynical mood and wanted to make that very blunt point of, like, you know, some people are really lucky and maybe pure hate and wrath, like, you know.
That was while I was reading that.
Living well is the best revenge.
Living well, fuck that. Hate is never. Well, I mean, hate's a disservice to yourself.
Hate is human.
It's human.
It's human. Envy and jealousy.
Human.
And bitterness. You know, just like Salieri.
You ever thought about? Well, you were gonna do. When you create your deli slash
bakery butchery,
yeah, you're that. You should come up with your own dish called the human.
The human, yeah.
It could be.
It'd be a pan fried raccoon on a sourdough roll.
Would you contact
with a spicy mustard and mayo vinaigrette.
Would you contact Vincent for some of the special meats?
My smoked meats. I have a Clavin special.
God damn.
Because Cliff Clavin was in that movie Motel Hell you just referenced.
Was he?
Yeah.
The last John time I saw that
the
was
Ratzenberg.
Like, was like USA Up All Night, like probably fucking 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Good times though.
Yeah, it is a good time.
Rhonda Shear's like fucking pushing something. She's got some sort of product. I was shocked. I'm like, shit, she's still alive. Wow, Amadeus. We were never really going to get to Amadeus so much. I'd have to watch it again to refresh it. It's been probably, last time I watched it, I was living up on Fickle Hill.
Well, here, I can do a quick refresh for you.
A refresh?
So Amadeus is directed by Milos Forman, who did One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest. He's kind of like kind of a Kubrickish kind of guy, I think, in terms of his style, his approach, and his films. I think definitely in that same realm. I mean, really, those are the two films.
Usually, of his a little easier to follow.
Yeah, those are the two films of his that I can really think of that kind of fit that bill. But it's, you know, got the big music.
He didn't do The Last Boy Scout, right?
Milos Forman.
Uh huh.
No, that was Tony Scott.
Did he do anything with Wesley Snipes?
I don't think so.
I just
then you tuned it out. If it's not Wesley Snipes related, okay. No,
we're the Last Boy Scout.
We're the Last Boy Scout related.
There's only two planets in my
solar. I like that.
Oh man!
You say surf's up.
Surf's.
You gotta say something clever now. It's fucking kids and their bullshit with their clever lines before they knock somebody out.
Oh, God. People's. Now it's always been that way, though.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like IQs keep falling backwards, but that's not the truth.
well, there's just different stuff for people to know now, and so it's tough to, like, you could become, people can become experts on things that are completely useless towards, like,
there should survival. Be a class at Yale just on Snooki.
There shouldn't be, but the point is there could, and that's unfortunate, you know? So, yeah, so Amadeus is basically the story told by the F. Murray Abraham character. He won an Oscar for it. He won a lot of Oscars, including Best Picture, I believe.
Yes, it did.
Probably early 80s, I want to say.
No, it was later than that. I think it was...
It wasn't like 88 or something.
No.
It was like 85 or 84 or something.
I was thinking it was 86.
Okay, that's, yeah, sure. So mid-80s. That's mid-80s, which is...
But it could be 84. It wasn't 85, I know that.
Okay.
Okay.
And Tom Hughes, in one of the three roles he did, he was in...
Animal House,
and he was in...
Parenthood,
yeah.
Yep.
And he was good in this. He has the indelible laugh. I was watching it today in the living room, and my mom was in the kitchen. And she heard the weird laugh that he has. And she's like, "Oh, Amadeus!" Like she remembered. Like it's been years since either of us have seen that movie, but she remembered just from the laugh. It's got great set design. It's an awesome period movie. It's just
shit, and it's got Jeffrey.
Yeah, it does. It's a weird role for that guy. It was in a lot of '80s movies, but yeah. It works. I don't remember his name, Jeffrey something. Yeah. Jeffrey Rats.
No.
Something with an R.
Shit.
It's not important.
No, it isn't.
I would always confuse him and the guy from Real Genius.
Oh.
Hathaway or whatever.
Right. Dickless.
Yeah. So.
That was pretty damn funny when he was talking about walking around New York and people just... I think he actually got passed by, like, a tour bus and everybody yelled out, "Hey, it's Dickless."
That would work.
That would work. Those dogs, huh? Arf!
Okay, so...
So getting back to Amadeus.
So it's basically the story of Mozart, as told from the bitter Salieri, whose big... I mean, the big theme is one of jealousy and envy, but of the divine sense, because he's a very devout religious person, and he at some point finds inspiration to want to study music to best exemplify the beauty that the Lord has given the world. You know, he's like, "I want to be the instrument for you, Lord." And then, so he studies, he does well, he becomes a court composer for the Emperor of Vienna, or whatever Jeffrey, what's his name's character supposed to be. And then he hears about this Mozart guy, and the Mozart guy, when he meets him, the guy's a goofball. The guy's a slovenly, lustful goofball, and he's like, "What? This is the guy that you give such supreme talent to? You know, and I'm wallowing in mediocrity."
Well, it's all one big fucking joke.
Yeah, exactly. And he has trouble dealing with that. Eventually, it drives him mad. It drives him jealous, and he embarks upon this series of events to orchestrate the sort of downfall of Mozart, and I don't know, it was weird because I thought maybe I'm becoming less bitter in my old age, but I really identified with Salieri character when I saw it years ago. Mm-hmm. And in this case, yeah, you're all over the place tonight. In this case, I felt a lot more sympathy for Mozart in this one, because especially when Salieri starts to turn a lot of the other aristocrats and the members of the court against Mozart, you see, like, sure, Mozart is kind of fun-loving and goofy, and he drinks too much and stuff, but he really is passionate about his work, and he really has, like, it's not like he's this artist that's, like, fuck you and smug about stuff, you know?
He really is.
But not entirely, too. You know, he's not like some street artist that's like, "All art is crap, and what I do is crap, but I get paid for it, but I don't care because I don't care getting..." You know, he's not like that kind of ridiculous.
No, that's not what I was saying. I said he was, well, irreverent would be calling it nice.
Well, But he cared about his work, and he wanted to bring his work to... I mean, in the movie, I don't know about the reality. I know the reality is probably vastly different than this, and I don't really care, because it's a story about the idea, and so...
I'd always heard there was some strong basis, actually.
Well, there's probably some degree of it. I've also heard that Salieri's music is actually pretty good, or, like, who knows what.
But compared to Mozart...
Yeah, right. And so that's the thing. Is that, you know, that's the lesson that he, unfortunately, can never learn, is that... You know, you just have to beat... It's like the Rocky IV lesson, you know? You just have to beat yourself. You don't have to beat anyone else except Drago. But Drago's not in this, fortunately.
Oh, shit, you know what was on the other day?
Rocky III? Alex
Spike? No, Commando.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
With the Calypso music that they bought, James Horner just took the extra music from 48 Hours and just put it in there.
What happened to that chick? She was in a bunch of shit, and then she disappeared.
Ray Dong Chong.
Is that who that was?
From Blando? Yeah.
Wow. I don't
realize. She was in the third part of the Dark Tales from the Dark Side anthology movie. She was the gargoyle chick.
She was
in Time Rider.
Time Rider.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking she was in The Big Squeeze with Michael Keaton.
That's believable. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's definitely a good movie, Amadeus. It's one of those Oscar movies that's actually kind of fun to watch and cool to watch. A little
no,
on the
it is
long
a great
side.
Movie.
I
was thinking I've never seen it on anything but VHS. It was one of those movies that it wasn't even a recording, actually.
Was it two tapes?
No, it was just one.
That's weird. The DVD, I have an old DVD of it, and it's a flip-over DVD. And it's all, like, formatted haywire, where, like, you have to go into the menu and tell it to be English, because it is fucked up and it defaults to just the score, so there's nothing but the musical score. Like, all the other audio is muted.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's weird like that. It's just an old DVD. It's a downside. Yep. Ringing the bell tonight, huh?
Yeah, shit, I haven't eaten since, like, probably about 1.
Well, I asked you if you wanted any food.
There were beans, though. I had some beans.
Well, then you're
probably
okay.
Yeah, it was filling. I only ate half of it, though.
You get the other half at home, then, huh?
No, I just left it there.
Well, that'll work. Yeah. It was, I mean, they get into his family, and his wife's concerned about money, and... I don't know. I just didn't, I found it to be much more involving in this one, in this case.
Well, it's one of those movies where you definitely have a different appreciation for it. I think you could probably watch it another 10 years and probably find something else you liked about it.
Possibly. I mean,
That'd be kind of fun to watch that and Immortal Beloved. That was another great movie.
Yeah, I never saw that one. I've kind of always wanted to see it because I like Gary Oldman. But,
I've been waiting for him to do something.
Oh, he's doing the Red Riding Hood.
And I was not, again.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for him to do something good.
Gordon.
Right. There would, yeah.
Gordon is good.
Gordon
Did
is
he
good.
Win an Oscar? Does Gary Oldman win an Oscar for anything ever? I feel like he must have.
I think he has. I think he won. I think he won an Oscar. What year was
it? It wasn't for White Boy Day, was it?
White Boy. He should have won an Oscar for that.
You want an egg roll? Well, sit down. Have an egg roll.
Oh, man.
Hell no.
Yeah, is it White Boy Day? No, man, it ain't White Boy Day.
Yeah, no.
Clarence Worley. I'm not going to... My better half's telling me not to proceed with that.
And yeah, too Tarantino.
Too Tarantino.
No, what did Gary Oldman win an Oscar for? Did he win an Oscar?
If he did, it was probably for Immortal Beloved.
You know, okay. So if Gary Oldman won an Oscar, this last Oscar run...
I'm sure he's been nominated.
This last Oscar run, Christian Bale won an Oscar, and Wally Pfister won an Oscar. And that's two Nolan regulars. So we're looking at, like, a huge lineup of Oscar winners for the third Batman, because Michael Caine's in it, and Morgan Freeman has won an Oscar, probably.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman's in it. So you're looking at like 5 or 6 Oscar caliber people.
What the fuck did he win an Oscar for? Did he win an Oscar
for Shawshank? Was the best supporting for Shawshank?
No, he was nominated, but didn't win.
Huh.
No, maybe his Driving Miss Daisy?
Oh, possibly, yeah.
I think he did, because I think, I know he didn't win for Glory. That went to Denzel. And, well, I mean, shit.
No, we're looking at, like, a solid lineup for Batman 3.
Oh, I was just kind of sorry to see Rucker Hauer go.
Did he die? Or you mean that he wasn't in the second movie?
He wasn't in the second movie. He keeps popping up. I was so looking forward to him having a larger role in Sin City. It's funny I brought that up earlier. Yeah. But I was disappointed that he wasn't in that more.
And then Tom Berenger shows up in Inception. How about that? Nolan finds a way to do that with some of those older actors. He like brings them out at out of like recluse, out of like straight to DVD Terribleville or wherever they've been living.
That was really, you know, it's a shame when it's just the wrong year. It's your role, but it's the wrong year. And kind of like Steve McQueen for
Sand Pebbles.
For Sand Pebbles definitely comes to mind, and Tom Berenger for Platoon, because that was his role.
And then he pretty much did that, and then he just did, like, guest... He won an Emmy for Best Guest Star on, like, the last season of Cheers.
Yeah. But, I mean...
And then he did Sliver, Sliver. He was a killer in Sliver, spoiler alert. Killer, and he was... You could tell he was a killer, too.
Someone told me, I'm not even going to add details to this, but some guy...
Some dude.
Some
random dude was telling Mark about Sliver. What did you say? What did he say?
No, he told me I looked like a Baldwin. I was like, what the fuck?
You look kind of like a Stephen Baldwin.
Thank you.
Yep.
At least you didn't say Daniel Baldwin.
Well, you don't look like Daniel Baldwin.
But I look like Stephen Baldwin.
A little bit like Stephen Baldwin.
Jesus Christ.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. And, yeah, it's like... I don't know really what to do with that.
We get enough people together, we could, like, recreate Usual Suspects. I probably look the most like... I might be the Kevin Spacey, I don't know. Who would I be? Not the Pollock.
Definitely thin. Not... You haven't thinned enough.
I haven't thinned enough for Pollock. God, I don't
own
that.
Are you
going
to shit blood for days?
I need to buy that on Blu-ray because it's cheap, and I don't own that movie at all. Well,
but did we haven't done that, have we?
No, I can rewatch that here pretty soon.
With Chaz?
Chaz. So, a big fucking rat.
And oh shit, your favorite.
Yep, Zed. Zed's in it?
Who?
Zed is in it.
Oh, well,
with the chopper?
Zed, yes. He's got... You know, it's funny, it's not even that great a line, but for some reason it really cracked me up the first time I heard it. When they're like, what do you want us to do with all this shit? And once you give it to the gimp, I hear it numbs pain or some shit like that.
What? Numbs pain?
Yeah, when they fucking go and they heist the jewelry thing, it's a whole fucking shitload of china.
Yeah.
And they take it back to Redfoot or whatever the fuck his name is, Zed. And they're like, what do you want us to do with all this shit? He's like, fucking give it to the gimp. And I'm like, is that a play on words? Or, but it's pretty awesome.
I haven't seen it in forever. I gotta see
there, were some great lines of that fucking... Yeah, Pollock. I most like Pollock.
Pollock is good. Have you seen a movie called Deterrence? It was like a straight-to-DVD, but it's really good.
Oh, where he plays the vice president.
Yeah, and he's on tour. He's on, like, campaign, and they end up at the diner.
It's, he's kind of disappeared, but he really... I mean, he was always supporting for the most part, but he was pretty solid.
I think he's got like a net show. Like, I think he has like a talk show on the internet.
Like, I was.
Which seems weird. I mean, a lot of those guys are really embracing
that. A Few Good Men, I think it was on TV when I was stuck in a motel. And I always liked his character in that. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with the Pollack.
No. Oh shit, and Benicio del Toro. Yeah. I mean, that's what really threw him out there. I mean, he had done
he wasn't License very good to Kill, at that, though. And they got rid of him quick.
The Fenster. Yeah, he was the first one. Well, somebody had to go. No one could understand what the fuck he was saying.
Peter Postlethwaite, who's dead now.
No, the dude from Brast. Brast off.
And dude? He was in Inception too.
And he's dead.
Yeah,
he died. He was good at what he did.
Yeah, he was really good in Usual Suspects too.
Yes, he was. Really, there weren't a whole lot of. Well, again, you had the bald one.
He worked in that though.
Role. Well, he played off everybody.
Really yeah,
well.
Exactly. Yeah, like
to play. I still want to see that show with Gabriel.
The In Treatment show.
Yeah, Gabriel.
I don't know. There's so many shows.
Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah, Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne. There.
As a shrink that goes to a shrink.
Well, that's unheard of. But yeah, no, he's another actor that I've always enjoyed watching.
Today, on that episode of The Simpsons, it was a new one I had never seen before, but it was on early, like as in rerun slot, so it's like there's that many I haven't seen. The whole big joke was that Homer discovered like TV Land, or their equivalent of it, and they created these like a whole bunch of different stupid sitcoms. And the thing about it is there was this one called like Thicker Than Water. It was like basically like a Cosby Show, Ray Romano combo platter to teach Homer how to be a good father. Basically, he's always watching this. And every time like they'd like sneak a credit into it, because it was like in the 80s, they'd credit like actual big names. So it was like executive story editor. No, it was like assistant story editor David Chase. Or it was like directed by Steven Soderbergh. Or like he was reading like a TV guide thing about it. And it was like forward by who was the author? Oh, J.D. Salinger. and then later on, they're like the true Hollywood story behind the scenes on Thicker Than Water. And the actor is like yelling at like the writer. He's like, you hack writer, what's your name? And he's like, David Mamet. He's like, you don't have this fucking thing figured out. So we're just like kind of a... It was a stupid joke.
But did they bring back McGallagher?
No, you mean McGarnagle?
McGarnagle.
No. I think I'm the only one that really digs the McGarnagle. Somebody had posted something on YouTube, but it got taken down, of apparently the first McBain movie is like got like a through line plot, and they showed sections of it in like that like one or two seasons of The Simpsons, because it's like he's going after senator / drug dealer Mendoza, and his partner gets killed, and then I think maybe the ice sculpture is involved, but it's the Venus de Milo, and he's like I don't know, but I'd love to see the McBain movie. It's like 4 minutes, but yeah, McGarnagle was McGarnagle eases the pain.
There were at least two references to McGarnagle.
Then he's yelling at the TV because he's yelling at the chief. It's like, what exactly does that mean? He's like, it means he gets results. And it's like, quiet, Dad. He can't hear you. Well, McGarnagle, they slit little Billy's throat. Hey, I'm trying to eat here.
I always hate when people start to, you don't hear it anymore, but when people were, especially the comparison, well, you could throw a third one in there. You had Family Guy, you had Trey and Matzel thing.
Yeah.
And then you had The Simpsons, and just trying to, people pointing fingers and fucking this did this first, and this is so much better, and it's gone so much further, and blah blah blah. Who really gives a shit?
I think most,
is doing a damn good job. Yeah,
most people don't that actually care don't actually care. I think some people get tired and they're like, you know what, it doesn't do it for me anymore, so they walk away, and that's fine. It's like, I got other things to watch.
Walk away, you fucking quitter, you punk. We'll slit your throat, bitch.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, we don't profess violence.
No.
But we enjoy watching it.
Sure.
Have we ever thought about bringing back the gladiator days?
Well, you're kind of doing that with the reality shows, like The Biggest Loser and stuff.
Well, they don't kill people yet.
They might as well be. They're killing their spirit and breaking them. They're like, we're going to do as much as we can to make you cry and feel like you're helping yourself, so that way when the cameras are off and you're left alone in a room, you'll eat those donuts, fatty, and you'll be just as miserable, and we'll shoot it with secret cameras, and then we'll show it to you back, and you'll have to see it in front of your family.
Extra laxative, so they shit themselves.
You have to see it in front of your family. And they'll know.
I learned about that. That was a new one on me. When she pissed herself.
Oh, gross. I don't want to hear about that.
It only bothered me so much. But if I had to envision somebody pissing themselves, you could do worse. But she is Fergalicious, after all. I never was a big fan. Except for Glamorous.
I don't know and don't care. I got no opinion.
Because it's got a little dose of Hot Atlanta at the ATL.
Oh, okay, that'll work.
That works. That gets it done.
You liking the ATL, aren't you? I've been there a few times.
Not really. Not so much. It is really beautiful city at night, though, but not so much in the daytime. Some cities, it lights up.
Oh, okay.
They got this thing called electricity.
I guess.
They got a whole bunch of fucking...
Couldn't you say that for a lot of cities, though?
Bugs with butts that light up. I don't know. That could be... That'd be kind of cool.
Okay.
I'd sit there and tap the little globes what they were floating around in.
That would work.
That... Oh, shit. That entertained me for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think we're done now. And it's funny that you're dying. No.